This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here we are, jumping off in our hour two of Draft Mashup. Mark Menard, Stephen Geller, Christian Garrick here with you till 1 o'clock. Phone lines are open. Our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines at 504-260-1870. Peyton Turner, after he was selected 28th overall, joined our Thursday night draft coverage with myself, Bobby Hebert, and Mike Dettillier. Here is Peyton Turner following his selection. Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon. Mike Dettillier, NFL draft analyst. I'm Christian Garrick, and we welcome in now Peyton Turner, the Saints' first-round draft pick out of Houston, defensive end. Peyton, just make you aware who you're going to be on with and doing the show with tonight. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, the first Saints quarterback, first quarterback to lead the Saints to the playoffs, and Mike Dettillier, NFL draft analyst. Peyton, congratulations on being selected by the New Orleans Saints 28th overall. What was your reaction?
complete excitement. It's a dream come true. I don't know how many people get to say that, but it is. It truly is, especially for an organization like the Saints. I'm on cloud nine.
Peyton, did you have any pre-draft meetings, Zooms, anything with the Saints?
I did. I met with them at the Senior Bowl, and then I met with them, I think, once or twice. Once on the phone, and then again on a Zoom meeting with them.
Did you have any idea that they had this much interest in you to turn you into a first round pick?
I mean, I knew they liked me. I didn't know they liked me at 28. I'm just super excited that they did like me because I like them. So I'm just really excited to get over in Nova.
I'm gonna turn you over to Bobby Hebert, first quarterback to lead the Saints to the playoffs.
Now, Peyton, I was reading where your potential and athletic freak show for position, whose lateral agility is off the charts for a defensive end with your size. So do you think you have a lot of upside and that you're just the tip of the iceberg how you could develop as a football player? Because I can tell you one thing. When you're going to be going in practice against Ryan Ramczyk and Teron Armstead, it doesn't get any better than that. So I think you're going to realize what it takes in the NFL, and I know you're going to work hard, but you're going to see the potential – what it takes to be an NFL player and dominate, because you couldn't go against two better tackles.
No doubt. I think competition, iron sharpens iron, right? So, I'm ready to get there. I got two defensive ends around me and great coaches around me to help push me to a better direction and just to keep getting better and keep excelling. But I think I've only showed the tip of my iceberg. I played basically 3.5 games this past season after learning the position my junior year. I had an off season, then I got to go to senior season and show what I worked on this past summer. So I think the only direction's up from here with the pieces I'm surrounded with to propel me forward. And then, like you just said, the competition I get to go against every day in practice. I'm just excited to get there and know the
Peyton Turner here on Draft Fest, Saints first round draft pick, 28th overall, defensive end out of Houston. And Peyton, you mentioned you had 3 interactions with the Saints prior to the draft, 1 at the Senior Bowl, a phone call and a Zoom. Who did you meet? Can you recall each meeting? Was it Sean Payton? Was it Ryan Nielsen? Was it Mickey Loomis? Who was it?
Yeah, I believe Ryan Nielsen was on the call along with the pass rush specialist. I believe it was Brian Young on the Zoom call. I met with them, went over the defense, we talked ball, and then we watched some film, over that time, and then at the Senior Bowl they got to kind of know me. They recorded obviously, and then watched it with the GM and everybody. I'd imagine, but those are the meetings, and then this is the result. But I mean, I'm just super excited, like I said, to get over and over.
Peyton, one of the things that in grading out a lot of defensive ends, it's that lower body power. That I think that's something that you need to work on. Get stronger in the lower body. That fuels the engine, so to speak, on you. And because of your athleticism, is that something you've worked on a lot in the offseason? I talked to Danielle Hunter, and he told me that was the difference with him playing at LSU and playing with the Vikings, that he got much stronger in the lower body, and it showed up in his body of work. Is that something you've worked on a lot?
Yeah, I think that just overall, just getting stronger every year, I think that's something you're going to always have to work on. You don't stop working on it. I'm sure Aaron Donald's in there squatting every day. So if he's doing it, why wouldn't I? So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to get stronger every day. It's something I'm focusing on, just keep developing as a pass rusher and in the weight room to, propel myself on the field when I do go out there and play in the NFL.
Did you work with somebody in the offseason, a specialty trainer in the offseason to get ready?
Yeah, I worked with Donovan Young. He runs Highlight Club here in Houston. He works with a few NFL guys. He played college ball as well. So just be able to work with him, and then on top of that, work with the off-season strength and conditioning program at U of H. I think that really got me right for this past season.
Now, Peyton, obviously, boy, you look at your wingspan and to rush the passer. Do you think you could develop it to every down edge guy as far as first, second, third down, not just a pass rush specialist, but to play against the run? Like if it's first and 10, and you can have me in there, and I'm going to be stout against the run.
Yeah, no doubt. That's the dream. That's the goal, is to be an every down player. I think that, I'd rather play the run. You know, I like that. I like that one-on-one matchup, see who's going to get the best of you. I enjoy playing the run. You know, I'm going to be violent, whether it be in the run or in pass rush. So that's the plan, though, to be an every down player.
Peyton Turner, Saints first round draft pick, 28th overall out of Houston, defensive end. Peyton, do you know what Saints fans, how Saints fans greet each other?
How they greet each other?
Who that, right?
Who that?
Who that?
There you go.
Oh, yeah. He got it. He got it. That was pretty loud. Who that?
What was your family's reaction like, Peyton?
Ecstatic. They've been with me through this every step. Just for me to get my dream come true, have my name called, where it got called, with who it got called by. I mean, it's just a dream come true. I know they're happy for me. I know they love me. I love them. And, I just couldn't be happier.
Peyton, going back to your college days or maybe at the Senior Bowl, who's the toughest guy you've went up against?
I'd say, Josh Jones, back when I was at Houston, just working against him, he's super, super athletic, really good pass set, good hands, he's active. So I'd say going against him every day, especially as a junior when I was transitioning on the edge, I think that just, like I said earlier, iron sharpens iron. I think he got me right. I think he helped me with my game, and I helped him with his. So. I definitely say Josh Jones.
Peyton Turner, once again, congratulations. Before we let you run, give us another who dat.
Who dat, baby? Who dat?
All right, Peyton
Turner.
That's
pretty good.
Well done. Hey, congratulations. Enjoy your night.
All right, thank you. Y'all too. Take care.
All right, that was Peyton Turner from Thursday night, the Saints' first-round draft pick. Still plenty to come here on Draft Mashup on WWL. Steve Geller, Mark Menard, Christian Garrick here on our Draft Mashup. I want to hear from the Who Dat Nation, your favorite and least favorite pick of the 2021 six-member class of the New Orleans Saints. Our Oakland Heart Jeweler talk and text line is open at 504-260-1870. We talked about Peyton Turner. We talked about our favorite, our least favorite picks of this class. Which one of the six do you feel like comes in right away and contributes first?
For me, it's got to be Adebo, just because of the cornerback position being so light. We knew going into this it was the Saints' top need, and there's just going to be so many questions at that position because of the lack of bodies we have currently, and then also the potential suspension for the star cornerback of the team, which I guess it's going to be a whole wait and see approach, kind of with Marshawn Lattimore and how his case turns out.
I agree on the Adebo thing, but look, I think everything is set up really nicely
for the other two guys who were picked ahead of him. I think Pete Werner's going to have a big shot here where he can come in and contribute immediately at linebacker just because, as I said before, the cupboard is so bare at that position for the Saints. And I think Peyton Turner's going to have an opportunity to be in some packages right off the bat. You know, I don't know if he's going to be your starting, you know, I don't think he's going to be your starting defensive end every down, but I think there's definitely going to be some room for him to contribute right away. And I mean, that's what you want out of your first rounder.
I was going to say, yeah, as the first rounder, he better be contributing in some way. For me, I had with the Zach Bourne draft pick last year, I know it was a third rounder, but man, there were very limited defensive snaps. And what we saw from him was just special teams. Mm-hmm. And I started to get worried about, is this going to be like another Stanley Jean Baptiste kind of thing? But SJB couldn't even do special teams. So I don't want to knock Bourne like that.
Well, I think it's fair to consider, especially with late round picks or not first round picks. Zach Bond was a third rounder. He didn't have the benefit of the offseason that most rookies get.
What about midway through the year?
Yeah, I hear you. But I think that even with Zach Bond, it's too early to rush to judgment on him.
Absolutely. But my yellow flag is up with him, and I'll be keeping obviously close tabs with that with training camp because I feel like he's a guy that needs to get into that rotation at linebacker, obviously, in year two.
Text here on our Orchid Heart Jeweler talking text line says, what about Sullivan out of Georgia? Massive bust. That wasn't under Sean Payton, and it wasn't under Mickey Loomis, yes. But
that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago, and not to mention, look, that was a Jim Haslett pick.
So
Jim Haslett
just
loved
talking about first
Jonathan.
Round bust here?
I said earlier that the only miss that they've had in the first round, this is when I was on with Doug Ciceri, is Stephon Anthony. Show me another first rounder that they completely whiffed on.
A complete whiff.
They're gonna say some are gonna say Marcus Davenport.
No,
I would say it's not an absolute miss because he hasn't been he's been productive when he's played. His problem is he hasn't played a full season. He's injury prone, and when he's been on the field, he's done some good things. The other part of that is there's so much pressure and weight on that decision of Marcus Davenport because they traded up to get him and they gave up a future one. So there's added pressure for that one to pan out, not just well, but for him to be a superstar because fans look at it as, well, look what you gave up to get him. So he's got to pan out and he's got to be highly productive. We'll see. They just picked up his fifth-year option. He's got two more years in the Saints uniform. If he stays healthy, he's got the traits and the ability to be a big-time pass rusher. We'll see. But when he's injured a lot, it's hard to contribute. It's just the facts.
Like A-Bears loves to say, he's hell when he's well.
Yeah.
And he also says, to be held accountable, you have to be available. And that's also true.
Another one here. Christian Turner must start at DN or he is a bust in big capital letters. Must he? Like, should he? Like, is it a must? No, it's not. Not early on, at least. Because look at what they're doing. If you look closely. First off, you're playing, you build your team to win your division. Who do you have in your division? Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
What is the thing that gives Tom Brady problems? Pressure.
Up the gut, right.
Pressure anywhere. He can't move. So you collect those big defensive linemen, those big pass rushers, Passanio, along with Cam Jordan, Davenport, now with Turner.
Carl Granderson.
So what are you going to do? If you're going to constantly be able to put pressure on quarterbacks, you better be deep there so you can rotate those guys in
Keep
and out.
Keep them fresh.
Just yeah. like defensive backs. Just
Keep
like,
running fresh bodies at
yeah,
him all game long.
Yeah, exactly. And just like with defensive backs, you're a nickel 67% of the time. So you're going to be rushing the passer 67% of the offensive snaps. So why not collect offensive pass rushers? And in particular, if he doesn't start, and starting is a relative term in today's NFL. It just is.
I was going to say, like, in today's NFL defense, the way it's played, it's almost every position is just a rotation of guys. You have very few guys who you say they're set in this position always. Like Cam Jordan, sure. Marshawn Lattimore, sure, and DeMario Davis. But the other guys in the secondary and the line and the linebackers, you want a rotation of guys to keep, like I said, throwing fresh bodies at the offense and try to wear them down that way. And that's especially on the defensive line. The defensive line rotation has been really deep for the Saints over the past few years, and I think that's what they want to continue here, you know, with Peyton Turner, with Marcus Davenport, with Cam Jordan, with Passanio. Like you said, that's a lot of guys that need playing time. I don't think starting
is nearly as important as the majority of snaps. You play the majority of snaps.
And you mentioned earlier, Christian, about, you know, Cam Jordan getting up there in age now. He's a guy we've seen in previous years basically being out there 98, 99% of the snaps. That can't be the case anymore.
Not as many snaps as he's played and as he gets up there in age.
Right.
You got to pull off a little bit and say, hey, look, Bobby uses this term a lot with Drew Brees. Less of Cam Jordan might be more production. The other thing is the pro game is becoming positionless. It just is. Look at these safeties, right? I mean, look at these linebackers. They're now – Jacoby Stevens is a great example. He's going to play linebacker
right.
at the NFL level. The linebackers are getting smaller and faster, right?
Because they have to cover.
That's why I say it's almost positionless. Look at P.J. Williams, corner safety. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson can cover in the slot, but he can also rush the passer and help you in the run. It's a positionless game, in particular on defense these days.
We've seen them drop Cam Jordan into pass coverage in the past.
Well, I know fans are definitely panicking, too, after the Falcons ended up drafting Pitts in the first round. So they're like, how are we going to cover this guy? We couldn't handle Waller last year.
Well, and the Saints have had their trouble covering tight ends. There's no doubt.
Well,
but it's the linebacker.
When it comes to DJ Waller, Casey, Travis Kelce.
Kittle.
George Kittle. Not too many guys are going to be able to do that. I mean, they're just that good. So that's just a matchup that you go, man, let's just hope and pray.
Right.
I'm honestly like.
Limit production.
You're not going to totally shut them down. You can have some coverages. You can bracket them. You can play in and out. But, you know, to think that you're going to just shut them down, those guys. Oh, by the way, you just got another cat in your division and Kyle Pitts out of Florida that went to the Atlanta Falcons fourth overall. That's going to be a matchup nightmare. So you're going to face him twice a year.
I wonder if Terry Fontenot knew that.
Well, I mean, you could go back to the Super Bowl win for the Saints. Who's the only guy on the Colts that really tore him up? Dallas Clark.
Yeah.
So this is an ongoing issue, but I think it's an issue not just for the Saints, but a lot of these tight ends in today's game are such a hybrid player with their size and their speed. There's not a lot of guys that can cover these guys when they're really special.
All right, we got the coordinator on our Oaken Heart Jeweler Talk and Text line. Go ahead, coordinator. You're on WWL.
Hey, hi, Christian. I disagree with you about talking about the pass rushes with Peyton. I think he's going to be good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not like everybody else talking about he's going to be a bust or whatever. But pressure, when you was talking about getting pressure on Tom Brady, most of the pressure that Tom Brady or most any quarterback cannot handle is up in their face.
Sure.
The Saints haven't had a good defensive tackle since Leroy Glover. I'm talking about
Excuse me. Sheldon Rankins, David Onyemata. They're not good? They can't give you pass rush up the middle?
No. Don't you can't put their name up there. Don't do that. Don't disrespect
No. Okay. They haven't had a great one since Leroy Glover. Okay. Guess what? Not a lot of them they're not found very often. Those interior pass rushers are rare. At Leroy Glover's level. Leroy Glover was a great one. I'll give you that. But to sit here and say they haven't had one like him, they're hard to find. But can you find a productive interior pass rusher? They've had them.
Who? Name them. Name them, Christian.
I just gave you the names that have been productive. Are you asking me production or great?
Sheldon Rankins came.
What's
out
great?
Of Louisville hurt. What? You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about better than the production that he had. Come on.
So you don't think hold on. You don't think David Onyemata is effective?
He wasn't listen, to me, he wasn't no straight. I don't know if the Saints, that year, I don't know if they ran a 4-3 or 3-4. I don't know what they ran at that time.
Coordinator, answer the question. You don't think David Onyemata is an effective pass rusher in the interior?
Yes, he was better. To be honest with you, he was better than Rankins.
I'll give you that too. I'll concede to that. But to sit here and say they don't have any production in the interior pass rush is being silly. Trying to say the Saints don't have you're not going out on a ledge, coordinator, by saying they don't have a Leroy Glover. I mean, Leroy Glover was a rare find. And oh, by the way, he was undrafted.
Unbelievable, right?
I'm just coordinator. I understand it. Would I take Leroy Glover on this team right now? Oh, you better believe it. But to say that they don't have any productive interior pass rushers is off the mark, coordinator. Sorry, just is.
I think injuries, obviously, we can go back to this, with Sheldon Rankins was a big one for him, because to me, when when he was a part of this Saints D line and healthy, that the push they were able to get up front was fantastic. And we saw that then in the playoff games where like Davenport and Rankins weren't around, the team was hurting, and because they weren't able to rotate in guys. I'm not expecting the Turner to come in and start, Peyton Turner, to come in and be a starter as a rookie. I'm sorry, because you have guys like a Cam Jordan and you have Marcus Davenport heading into this season, who I know he wants to prove his worth and the fact that he can stay on this field and be healthy. And I would imagine he's going to be that guy opposite of Cam right now.
Keep this in mind. David Onyemata, when they drafted him, was a football puppy, right? He had just played in Canada, right? He just got there. When his first year, he was learning how to get in a stance, right? So he was still a football puppy. Look at his growth. What's the reason you think he grew?
Ryan Nielsen.
Exactly. So Peyton Turner under Ryan Nielsen, isn't it fair to expect, hey, he's going to improve his game because he's got one heck of a D-line coach? And if I had to put money on it, I'd say Ryan Nielsen is going to have a tremendous impact on Peyton Turner. He's already proven that.
I think Ryan Nielsen is going to have a tremendous impact on this team going forward as he continues to move through the ranks. I think, you know, he might be the next defensive coordinator if Dennis Allen moves on to a head coaching job.
Him or Chris Richard.
Yeah, okay. Those are the two guys.
I was having a conversation with Jimmy Smith earlier today,
mm-hmm.
and I agree with you, Mark. I think that Ryan Nielsen is going to be a head coach one day, but at the college level first. I think he's going to be a head coach at the collegiate level. Somebody's going to come in and try to grab him. And you got Chris Richard waiting in the wings if Dennis Allen gets a head coaching job. So,
well, Nielsen was getting the rumors at LSU for the longest time, right? For the defensive coordinator gig.
They wanted to make him. Yeah, that's why.
Did they actually talk to him? Did they interview him?
I'm pretty sure they did.
I thought they did.
Yeah. Okay, and then the Saints up their ante with him.
And they were not going to let him leave the building. I mean, their staff. I mean, Dan Campbell wanted to take a couple guys.
He brought Aaron Glenn with him.
Brought Aaron Glenn, but he wanted to take a lot of these guys. Nugent in particular,
okay.
The offensive line coach. He wanted to bring him. That's why the Saints elevated him. So it's just a necessary evil that you got to play when you're successful. Teams are going to come. You're going to lose your some of your staff because they're going to become head coaches and they're going to want to bring other guys with them.
Now, do you guys think that's another issue to me besides some of the big names or the prolific guys on the roster like a Drew Brees, like a Janoris Jackrabbit Jenkins? There are some pretty significant coaching absences and guys that have left. I don't know how much that's going to affect this team going into this season as well, just because we talk about the continuity constantly all the time, but I guess the positive aspect I would say is most of the guys are still internal that have been brought up within the organization and not too many outsiders coming in.
Yeah, I'm not that concerned about that. I'm just not, because I think Sean Payton made some good hires and elevated some people that deserve to be elevated, and also shuffled guys. I mentioned Dan Rauscher, he's now with the tight ends instead of the offensive line. I'm not that concerned about it. There's turnover every year. I understand where there would be concern because of you losing a guy like Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn, two very, very, very good coaches.
Right.
I get that. But Chris Richard is a very good coach in the defensive backs as well. So I think, you know, you replaced him with, I think, equal parts.
Well, and if Dan Campbell's successful, that's going to add a piece to the Sean Payton legacy that he doesn't really have at the moment in terms of the coaching tree. You know, there's not a lot of assistant coaches that have spread out from under Sean Payton and populated the league and been successful. But I think that they're getting to the point where if Dan Campbell can turn the Lions around, if Dennis Allen moves on, I think his second head coaching job is going to be way better than the first time he tried it with the Raiders. I think all of that starts to really cement Sean Payton's legacy in the league, not just as a great coach, not just an offensive guru, but as a guy who, you know, had his tentacles spread out across the league under his other assistant coaches that moved on.
I want to correct myself. This texter is right. Leroy Glover was drafted. It was late, I think sixth or seventh round. But yeah, what I was trying to get to and I missed, I did a poor job of illustrating, is they picked him off of waivers. They got Leroy Glover off of waivers. And that texter is right. Thanks for texting me or texting us. Another one here says, glad he isn't a real coordinator. Talking about the coordinator that called. Our Oakland Hard Jeweler talk and text line is open at 504-260-1870. We want to hear from you. Favorite pick of the Saints 2021 draft haul, least favorite pick, 504-260-1870. Mark, Steve, and Christian here on Sports Talk, or excuse me, Draft Recap on WWL.
We spent a lot of time with him. You know, the first thing you see is a guy that, you know, has won a lot of games. He's someone that I think is a good foot athlete, real good competitor. We liked a lot. He's played in big games, played at a high level. So, you know, we felt like it was right at the right time in the draft that would be good for us. And, you know, we're glad he was there.
Saints head coach Sean Payton on Ian Book, the fourth round pick, the quarterback out of Notre Dame, back here on our draft mashup show.
Book it.
Steve Geller. You can hear a lot of that if he has success.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Mark Menard, Christian Garrick here. Our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. And then Payton went on to talk about the comments that he made on a Dan Patrick show, or did he?
Listen, I read that. I can't remember even making that comment. He doesn't remind me of me. I wouldn't have drafted me. He's done a great job at Notre Dame. We've seen a lot of his tape, obviously, and watched a lot of film on him. Dan had to bring his name up because at that time, you're generally the host is kind of move in the direction of an interview, but it would have been so hard to even project where.
That was Saints head coach Sean Payton talking about Ian Book, again, the fourth rounder out of Notre Dame. I'm going to get to another soundbite in a minute, but yeah, I saw some, Mark and Steve, some comparing Ian Book as there's their replacement for Taysom Hill. I don't see that. I'll get Sean Payton's thoughts on that in a minute, but I don't see that.
Yeah, that was one thing, obviously, when drafted as well, I saw coming out just because he happens to be a mobile quarterback as well. And that was one of the things I hit Bobby Hebert with when we were doing that little Facebook recap. And he was like, oh, no, he'll get crushed if he starts taking off like Taysom Hill. Taysom is much more built, a bigger size body. I mean, Ian Book could still fill out. He's very young right now, but definitely a lot different style of a guy.
He's 210 pounds. Taysom Hill is 238.
Right.
Big difference.
A little bit.
I think the vision on him is, let's see if we can grow him. Let's see if we can, you know, let's see if we can develop him into an eventual starter. And it's the fourth round. If you can't, you can't. So what?
Well, I look at Ian Book and I look at his height and his accuracy, and you got to think, well, Sean's been here before with some of the traits that he has. And I'm not saying he's the next Drew Brees, but there's a lot of parts of his game, including his size, that are kind of Drew Brees-like. And remember, Drew Brees wasn't Drew Brees his rookie year. Drew Brees didn't really come on for the Chargers until year three after they drafted Phillip Rivers. That's why he became so expendable, was because they had already brought in his replacement when everything finally clicked for him. And look, it was to the Saints' advantage that he was available, and he went on to create a Hall of Fame legacy here in New Orleans. But, you know, there's definitely time for Ian Book to grow his game, because I don't think he's going to come in and compete, but I don't think he's in the running to start for this team with what they've already got with Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. I still think the starter's going to be one of those two, and I would lean towards it's probably going to be Jameis. So you're going to get about a year here where Jameis Winston is definitely going to be your Saints starter, and Ian Book can just sit back and watch and learn under Sean Payton. And then if Jameis has a great year, he's going to continue. And if Jameis has a okay or a so-so year, that might open the door for Ian Book, you know, come year two to try to make a move and see what he can do. And I think that's what Ian's future is here. And look, if he develops into a starter and they're still happy with Jameis, that's still a win, because then you've got trade bait where you can move him in the future and get some assets back.
I think the Hill comparisons came to right away because of what Taysom said at the Zurich Classic, of him now being focused solely on that quarterback role and not being the Swiss Army knife anymore. So I think a lot of people are thinking then, well, who's going to be that guy then that the Saints do have that can play every position on the field?
Listen, even if Jameis Winston wins that battle, they're not going to just go, oh, Taysom, you're not seeing the field.
Of course not.
They're going to put him still. If Taysom Hill wins that package, that job, they're still going to create a package where Winston will be the quarterback and he's going to play a little bit more of his usual Swiss Army knife.
I want to just know, too, is there going to be, though, any kind of animosity or negative feeling about Taysom if he doesn't win that job, because he is focused on being a starting quarterback. And I'm not trying to knock, obviously, any of his value as that Swiss Army knife role, because obviously he means so much to the offense and what he can do. But, I mean, if he's so dead set on being an NFL quarterback and doesn't achieve that here, is he going to be more inclined to want to test his luck somewhere else where he can get that starting gig?
I think he would, but here's the deal. If you're given a fair competition and
sure.
the best man wins and you just deal with it. And then, like you said, maybe the year after, because that contract that he signed.
They're both free agents after this year, right. Winston and Hill.
Right, so it showed that makes even more sense as to why you would draft an Ian Book, first off. And second off, if he loses that competition, then so what? After this year, if you feel so inclined, go test the waters. Go right ahead. I mean, if it's a fair shake and you have animosity or you're upset, you're in your feelings, well, you don't need to play in this league anyway. If you're not willing to compete for a job, and Taysom's not that way.
Right.
Taysom's not going to get in his feelings if he loses the job to Jameis Winston. He'll say, okay, I was given an opportunity. I didn't prove that I was the better option of the two. That's that.
I was going to say,
I don't think Taysom Hill's character is such that, you know, even if he had a little bit of animosity, you wouldn't see it. He'd be professional throughout the course of the season. And then, like you said, maybe test his mettle somewhere else. But I think he would definitely play out the string and do what the team asked him to do.
Yeah, my thing was, like I said, when he said that he's now focused his entire workout regimen and preparation for this season is now just to be a quarterback without that Swiss Army knife really in his mind, how is that going to affect the team then, too? And him for this season, because, I mean, him lining up running back, wide receiver, tight end, whatever you want him to do, even on special teams, he's more valuable there for me than as the read option quarterback.
Well said. And Steve, the hands are keep coming up. I know you're getting animated, man. When you start, I'm a hands talker. He's a hands talker. I love it.
That's why I don't do too many of those Facebook videos, because everyone gets distracted of me doing aircraft traffic control.
Steve Geller, Mark Menard, Christian Garrick, here's our draft mashup here on WWL.
I said this at the beginning. There was some concern for everybody heading into this draft, because, you know, if we were operating in years past with, let's say, 98% of the information, 97% of the information, medically, physically, all the testing, you know, I think that number would have been a little lower this year because of COVID. You know, there wasn't an actual combine. So, you know, medically, this is a class that is clean. Obviously, we feel like they're talented. I like the fact that each one of these picks are prototype relative to their position. I like the fact that we feel like it's a smart class relative to what we're going to ask them to do. And so, you know, the scouts and everyone involved in the process did a good job with some challenging circumstances. And that goes for even these prospects that, you know, it was a different offseason, and you had players opting out, you had games missed. There were a lot of guys, a lot of good football players, maybe, who didn't have quite the same type of junior or senior year that they may have otherwise. Some of it was conference driven. Some of it, there were a number of reasons. So I think that we felt really good about, you know, the height, weight, speed, and intelligence of this class. And then also the vision that we have for each of these players. I think the one area that's super important is, you know, what's the vision onto our roster? And then we kind of go from there.
Saints head coach Sean Payton recapping his 2021 draft class, 6 members in all. Want to know your favorite and your least favorite on our Oakland Heart Jeweler talk and text lines at 504-260-1870. And we can get into some undrafted free agent stuff in a little bit. We spent some time talking about Pete Werner, Peyton Turner, Paulson Adebo, Ian Book, a little bit on Landon Turner, a little bit on Kwon Baker. And like I said earlier, Kwon Baker was a player that teams were interested in at the back end of the 7th round as an undrafted free agent. The Saints decided what they typically do is, hey, we're not going to let that
that guy get out the building. We're going to spend a draft pick on him. Therefore, we're not competing with other teams to sign him in free agency. That's how they typically work. It happened with Will Clapp. It happened last year with Tommy Stevens. Remember, the Carolina Panthers were hot on Tommy Stevens' heels, and they ultimately ended up
Yeah, they ended up with him. That was funny.
But they were telling, hey, we're signing you as a priority undrafted free agent. And the Saints said, well, you know what? No, you're not. We're going to force the issue. We're going to take him. And that's what they did with Quan Baker. And I know if immediately fans, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, they just drafted the Saints Hall of Famer, like just like they did with Marcus Colston in the seventh round. Like, it's an automatic.
Yeah, I think for all these guys who get picked by the Saints, they get picked into a really nice situation because, A, you know, we've talked about it. The Saints have won more games over the last 4 years than anybody else in the regular season. But if you take a look at it from an offensive standpoint, an offensive player coming here, you get to learn under Sean Payton, who is one of the NFL's, you know, brightest offensive minds, even, you know, 15, 16 years into his tenure as a head coach, he's still, you know, an offensive guru. And if you're coming in on defense, you have a chance to contribute because the defensive cupboard here is a little bare at a lot of the positions that you would come in and play. So there's a lot of reason to be excited for anybody drafted by the Saints, and I think you heard it in their voices when we interviewed them.
Yeah, this is way far away from the days of, obviously, the old Saints regime where people didn't want to come to New Orleans. People want to play for this ball club, whoever, wherever they're coming from.
Two down, one to go. Welcome into our draft coverage here. We'll be back on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.